Okay, good evening. As we know, Rosh Hashanah is coming, and I wanted to focus with you tonight briefly on the question as to whether we are allowed to eat before Tikiyah Shofar. Now, this is an interesting question, because in some ways this question ends up being a machlokes between what they do in yeshivos and what it says in Shulchan Aruch, which is as follows. When I was in yeshiva in Israel, I was in KBY, so before Tikiyah Shofar, we had a Kiddush. Every Shabbos morning Kiddush in KBY, it was the chocolate milk with chocolate cake, and they also had this thing called chocolate spread. Chocolate spread is, it's pariv, I don't know what. So that was the Kiddush that we had on Rosh Hashanah morning before Tikiyah Shofar, and this is actually very questionable, whether al pi halacha you're allowed to eat before Tikiyah Shofar. And we could look at this question in a few different ways. We can approach it from the perspective of eating before davening, and we can talk about it from the perspective of eating before shacharis, eating before musaf, eating before doing mitzvos in general, and then the question of interrupting in middle of tikkios. In other words, when all the dust settles on this conversation, we are going to end up with three different positions. The position of Reb Kiva Eger and the position of Reb Henkin is that you should make Kiddush and eat between the Tekiyos de Miyushav and Tekiyos de Me'umar. Meaning, after you hear the first 30 shofar sounds, at the time when you're not allowed to talk, not allowed to interrupt, blah, 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 what you should do is go make Kiddush and eat. That's what Reb Henkin says.
Wait, others can I ask you a question? If he says you're not allowed to interrupt, you're not allowed to talk.
We'll talk about it.
Then how can you make Kiddush?
We'll talk about it. Excellent. But the position of Reb Kiva Eger and the position of Reb Henkin is that that's what you should do. The position of the Beis Yitzchak of Reb Yitzchak Shmalkis is what you should really do is eat without Kiddush. And the position of the Chassam Sofer is that you should eat, or you should make Kiddush and eat, but you should eat a Kezayis, not a Kebetza. In other words, the halacha is, in order to fulfill Kiddush B'makom Seuda, you need a Kezayis of Mizonos, let's say. But the Chassam Sofer understands that the prohibition to eat before Shofar means you can't eat a Kebetza worth. When I was in yeshiva in Israel, so the posek of the yeshiva, Rav Rubinstein, used to make an announcement. He'd say that we have pieces of cake, and every piece of cake is between the size of a kezayis and a kebetza, which was a great idea. The problem was that some pieces of cake were, I guess, the kezayis like this big, other pieces of cake were kezayis this big, and then you'd have like the excellent Rosh Hashanah arm wrestle to see who gets the bigger kezayis, who gets the little kezayis, because, you know, davening in yeshiva is going to go on for a long time. So let's discuss this issue in very broad strokes. Are we allowed to eat before davening? Answer, yes, no, maybe.
If it improves your kavanah.
If what? It improves your kavanah. If it improves your kavanah, then you are allowed to eat and not allowed to eat. So it says in Shulchan Aruch.
Yes and no.
It says in Shulchan Aruch that what? It's a no. Right, it says that you're not allowed to do simon pei tesef gimel. You're not allowed to do your own stuff before davening. You can't travel before you daven. Some are mekel once you said a little bit of brachos, etc. Velo lecho velo lishtos. Avo mayim mutar lishtos kodem tefila ben b'chol ben b'shabbos. You're not allowed to eat or drink before davening, but you are allowed to drink water, whether it's a weekday or a Shabbos. You're allowed to drink water before davening. Apparently, the idea is that usually I can't drink even water once I have to make Kiddush. But the obligation to recite Kiddush does not set in Shabbos morning until after I daven Shacharis. So before Shacharis, I don't have to say Kiddush. Therefore, I can eat before Shacharis, but not eat. I can drink, but not drink. I can only drink water. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You can drink water before davening. Big whoop. Now, the real source of this is the Gemara Brachos on Daf Yod. The Gemara derives from a pasuk of Osi Hishlachta Achari Gevecha, that Kadosh Baruch Hu says that, like, you threw me behind your back, that Kevan Shenisga Ezeh, once you became a Baal Gaiva, how can you daven? Others derive from the pasuk "Tochlu al hadam," that you're not allowed to eat before you pray for your soul. Based on this, what emerges is you're not allowed to eat before davening. Whether or not you could drink before davening, it would also seem that you can't drink before davening. But the reasons that are given is that it's considered gaiva. It's hori. And for this reason, the poskim say water is not hori at all. You can drink water before davening. Now the Rambam, by the way, has an opinion that you should not even drink water before davening. Not really accepted. We drink water. Now the Mishnah Brura over here writes, in Sivkot and Chaf Beis, that you could pick up from the middle, that the Mishnah Brura says that you're allowed to drink tea or coffee in the morning before davening, but you can't really put sugar in. And you can't put milk in your coffee. Says the Mishnah Brura, but people have a practice. The minhag ha'olam is that they have sugar. So he says, yeah, well, maybe you could be makel if you, European Jews used to do this. You put a sugar cube in your mouth, and then you drink the coffee on top of the sugar cube.
My grandfather used to do that.
Yeah, was he European?
Yes.
There you have it. So European Jews used to do this. It's like a strange sort of practice, but the Mishnah Berurah says you can't have coffee with milk or coffee with sugar before davening. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, right, let's just read this in the Aruch HaShulchan, the underlined part. V'yesha asur lishtos im tzukr. Some say you can't have it with sugar, and the reason apparently is that that's gaiva. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, v'ein yodei atam, d'atu sheim achila yesh bazeh, v'arei eino elo lahatim esachamin k'tzas. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the sugar that you have is just to make... Do you ever drink coffee without sugar?
Yeah, it's bitter.
It's bitter, right? And the sugar is matim. It just adds a little bit of flavor. Some say that you could permit drinking coffee with sugar when the sugar's in your mouth, but you should not put the sugar into the coffee. But that's not correct. With milk, you should not drink coffee. So the Aruch HaShulchan is machmir. He says you could have coffee with sugar, but not with... not with milk, but the minhag ha'olam is that we even have coffee with milk, because basically the milk also only makes the coffee less bitter. This is my practice. I am not a functional human being in the morning. Do not say hello to me. Don't cross my path until I have my coffee. Right? You're also like that, Gila.
Huh? It's my elixir.
It's like, it's really scary. I always felt that, like, when there are lines in the coffee store in the morning, that the people who are asking for a decaf should move away in favor of the people who really need it. I mean, like, let's be honest. Life without coffee is like... By the way, next week is going to be the hardest week of the year. No? Because if you try to get off of coffee before Yom Kippur, and you also have to get up for Slichas, life is hard. This is why God gives us reward when we do his mitzvahs, no? But basically what we have over here is like this. The Mishnah Berurah says don't have coffee before davening. Aruch HaShulchan says that the minhag ha'olam is that you can have... Mishnah Berurah says if you have coffee, don't have it with sugar and milk. Aruch HaShulchan says the minhag ha'olam is with sugar and milk. And I think this is the standard practice. The Aruch HaShulchan has a suffix whether you can have seltzer and lemonade before davening. And he's inclined that those things are just considered plain water. Yes, sir?
What about coffee with the coffee rich?
So I think coffee rich is the same as milk. Right? It's just that if you happen to be flacic because you had a midnight barbecue or something, so then you need coffee rich instead of... I think that's all the same.
And Rav Shachar says coffee rich is not considered milk.
Don't know. Okay. I mean, it seems to me like it should be considered milk. What I would say is that like a very fancy coffee drink. Like, the poskim will say that if you're okay drinking coffee before davening, but you shouldn't drink coffee with a lot of people. And to go to, like, a Starbucks and to get your fancy espresso de latte 47s or whatever. What? They're not kosher. Fine. But if...
Katie, stop giving that much stuff.
What?
Katie, stop giving all the fancy drinks of stuff.
But if you... Let's say it would be kosher. I think before davening, right, that's already considered a little bit of gaiva. Oh, I'm so special. I have Starbucks. Whoopee-doo. That, I think, is not proper before davening. Good. Next. Yes, sir. Let's go, Victor. Now, so that's eating before Shacharis. What about after I daven Shacharis on Shabbos? Can I eat before Musaf or not? So, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to taste stuff before Musaf. right? Meaning you're allowed to have fruit, you have even a little bit of bread, but you shouldn't have a full meal. The impression you get from the Shulchan Aruch is that you don't need to make kiddush before Moses. But the Mishnah Berurah jumps up and down, spits wood and nickels, and the Mishnah Berurah says, whoa, 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 when we say that you're allowed to eat a little bit, that means only after you made kiddush, no? After Shacharis, you chayv in kiddush, and therefore you can't eat before kiddush, and kiddush makom suda. So Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, but drinking a cup of wine counts as kiddush makom suda for these purposes. Now, what this means is as follows. Even after Shacharis, before Musaf, you cannot eat without kiddush. Good? Mm-hmm. Now, there are a poskim who disagree. If you turn over the next page, they quote the Oye Rabba, quoting the Shari Tshuva, that if you don't feel well and you don't have anything to make kiddush on, you're allowed to have fruit before kiddush, before Musaf. In other words, there's a machlokas haposkim. The Oye Rabba assumes that the chiyuv of kiddush sets in after Musaf. Others say, and the Mishnah Berurah seems to conclude this way, that the chiyuv of kiddush sets in after Shacharis. Now, for our conversation about eating before shofar, right? Shofar is between Shacharis and Musaf, no? Do you have to make kiddush at that time? According to the Oye Rabba, we could say no. But according to the consensus of the Mishnah Berurah, the answer is, yeah, you have to make kiddush. And once you have to make kiddush, you need a kiddush makom su'uda, and that becomes a little more problematic. Now, there are some poskim who distinguish between men and women on this issue. There are opinions in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it here in Kuf Vav, that women don't have an obligation in Musaf. If that's the case, women don't have an obligation in Musaf, so then what emerges is that for women, right, what's going to happen? Huh? The Chaora, they do have an obligation in Shacharis of some sort, so then maybe they really have to make Kiddush. Women have an obligation to make Kiddush Shabbos morning, right? We could say, according to the Oye Rabba, that until after Musaf, right, you don't have an obligation of Kiddush. But the Mishnah Berurah disagrees. But for women, maybe you have more of an obligation. Now, the Mishnah Berurah then writes in the Bir Halach and Reish Pei Tes, Choves kiddush umisho utarlo lechov leshtos kodem tefila kagon shula refua kedla el pashut tzarich kadesh mitzchila. The Mishnah Berurah paskins. Let's say a person is not well, right? Or you gave a case that let's say you can only daven with kavona if you eat beforehand. It's like a chassidish practice that like you eat before davening, and the rationale is that they only have kavona. That way, it is very questionable in strict halacha where this is permitted. The Mishnah Berurah says, let's say you're sick and you have to eat before davening, you better make kiddush before davening. Reb Moshe Feinstein jumps up and down and bites wood and nickels, or spits wood and nickels, however the expression goes. And Reb Moshe says, what are you talking about? Before davening, before Shacharis, there's zero obligation in kiddush. Why do you have to make kiddush, dear Mishnah Berurah? So Reb Moshe says, I think the Mishnah Berurah is wrong, but nonetheless, there's an amazing Reb Moshe. He says, kivar ho rezokin v'yesh l'kadesh t'chila. But the Mishnah Berurah is saying you should make kiddush, and therefore make kiddush if you're going to eat before Shacharis. This comes up often, no? People are not well. You have to eat. You have to make kiddush before Shacharis even, according to the Mishnah Berurah. That's what emerges. So what we have is like this. In our world, the pashtus is that you need to make kiddush if you're going to eat, right, before Shacharis. If you're going to eat between Shacharis and Musaf, make kiddush also, because maybe the obligation of kiddush set in. That's basically the entire conversation so far. And now,
if you're someone, let's say, who has diabetes,
yeah,
and they need to eat before Shacharis,
make kiddush.
And then they go to shul, and they know that they're going to eat their Shabbos meal for lunch,
yeah,
or the Yom Tov meal before in the same room that they make kiddush.
So again, it depends how long it is. Most poskim feel, Rav Soloveitchik used to say that if I make kiddush, let's say at a shul kiddush, I should make kiddush again at home, because right, even though I was yotze kiddush from makom seuda, right, because I made kiddush in the shul kiddush and I had some cake or something. But many Rishonim hold that you only also kiddush makom seuda if you have a full meal with bread, and if you should make kiddush again.
Right.
So it seems like in most situations you shouldn't make Kiddush again just for that reason as well.
Okay.
Now, there is a discussion about eating before mitzvahs in general, right? Basically, we have two issues that we have to contend with when it comes to eating before shofar. One is eating before davening, before musaf, and the other issue is eating before doing a mitzvah. When it comes to eating before a mitzvah, so Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Lulav, you're not allowed to eat before you shake the lulav. The Magen Avraham has a suffix about whether you're allowed to have te'ima before doing a mitzvah. Can you taste a teeny bit? Some of the poskim say that the suffix of the Magen Avraham is true by all mitzvos. That means that by any mitzvah, I'm not sure if you're even allowed to taste a teeny bit. This issue comes up all the time. Before Bedikas Chametz, before Sfiras HaOmer, before any mitzvah, am I allowed to eat a tiny bit? So that's a suffix, really, in the Magen Avraham. And many poskim assume that, at least by shofar, you should not have anything at all before you do the mitzvah. Te'ima is also going to be te'ima is going to be usur as well. So now, what we did in yeshiva is as follows. We used to have kiddush between shacharis and musaf.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, you know what, you're only eating a kezayis, not a kibetza. Assuming that what? That before, for kiddush makom seuda, all you need is a kezayis. And the iser to eat before a mitzvah is only a kibetza. That is not true according to the suffix of the Magen Avraham, because according to the Magen Avraham, maybe even te'ima, even eating a tiny bit is usher before you do a mitzvah. Now, another argument that's made over here is by Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis. Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis was the Rav in Lviv. He wrote his first tshuvas the year that Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. 1850-something, right? That's when he started writing his tshuvas. Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis writes in Chelek Beis, Kuntrasachar and Simen Yudches, that he doesn't like this approach. The approach that you'll make Kiddush and have between a kezayis and a kibetza. Besides the fact that I don't know how much it is, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis says, well, one second. There's a din in halacha called achshavei. Achshavei means I take this very seriously. So I'm making Kiddush on the kezayis. And I'm saying that it's a real din se'uda, kiddush makom se'uda. Once it becomes like a real din of se'uda, says Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis, so then what emerges is you are not allowed to eat anything at all, because that kezayis now becomes very significant. Even though you're yotzei se'uda with the kezayis, since you're yotzei se'uda, it becomes achila, not te'ima. Says the Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis, the rationale to eat a kezayis, not a kibetza, is that we assume te'ima, just a little taste is permitted, achila is forbidden. But if I'm yotzei kiddush makom se'uda with it, then that teeny bit that I'm eating becomes achila, not te'ima, then it becomes usur. So Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis says, in his opinion, what emerges, what you should really do, is eat without any kiddush. Right? That's what, if you have... Now, some say that since you didn't hear shofar yet, so there's an additional iser, so therefore maybe it's not considered achila. So he says he doesn't like that idea. But rather, it seems if you're sick, you can rely on the Magen Avraham that te'ima is permitted, and rely on the El Yerabah that you don't need kiddush after shacharis before musaf. Good enough, that's what Yitzchak Shmelkis suggests. The Chassam Sofer gives a different approach. The Chassam Sofer's approach is that, you know what? You should make kiddush and eat a kezayis. That's like what they do in yeshivos. Rav Henkin has a different idea, however. Rav Henkin says that really what you should do is make kiddush and eat as much as you want before shofar. But it's not really before shofar. It's after the first 30 blasts. No? We blow shofar.
I knew that someone was going to say that you could eat in the middle of shofar, and I still am like really anti that. I'm very personal.
You don't like it?
No.
Why not?
Because you don't need to, like, I mean, no one's dying. You don't need to stop
them. So I won't be able to daven musaf well in Rosh Hashanah unless I eat something. And certainly, you know, the whole Musaf, it's going to go until like 1 o'clock or something. I'm not going to be able to pull it off. So what I'll do is... Right, but I'm in the middle of a mitzvah, but I already fulfilled the main part of the mitzvah. You see, me'ikar hadin, technically speaking, how many blasts of shofar do you have to hear in Rosh Hashanah?
30.
You have to hear 30, really, right? You have to hear tekiya, trua, tekiya. We're not sure what trua means. Does trua mean shvarim trua? Does trua mean just shvarim? Does trua mean just trua? So you have to hear 30 blasts, right? That's it.
Yeah.
30 blasts. After the first 30 year Yotzei the Mitzvah. Now we make a big announcement in Shul, and that announcement says, don't interrupt between the first bracha and shofar and the last tekiyas at the end of Kaddish. However, according to the strict halacha, right? According to the strict halacha, you're allowed to interrupt. Here, the Rif writes in Shabbos. The Rif writes in Rosh Hashanah, excuse me. Shalom mikami reish misifta hamavarich yom Rosh Hashanah tkiya shofar basar sefer Torah v'siy atzach levarich hatkiya soseid abracha solol. They ask a question: if you talk in middle tkiya, do you have to make a bracha again? V'ahad alahu hachik chazir abonin shagarim bazer shesach ad shalal yiskal seid abrachas avalach solavarich enu chozer v'lo damil letfilin that suffering tfil letfil chozer mavarich. Those are two mitzvahs. In other words, the Rif basically says you don't have to make a new bracha. The fact that we don't interrupt is really a chumrah. Not interrupting between the first tekiyos and the end is a chumrah. So says Rav Henkin, what you should do is, if you have to eat, make kiddush after the tekiyos de miyushav, and eat then, after the first 30, go out. Obviously, it can't be a big public kiddush, because it sort of defeats the whole purpose of a big public kiddush. And therefore, right, you will be, you'll get your kiddush at that time, and that will be enough. Now, the interesting thing over here is as follows. Rav Henkin developed this idea, he wrote it in Haparadeis, and Rav Mordechai Gifter, Rav Gifter was the Rosh Hashiva in Telos, no?
He went to YU.
Please. Yes. Rabbi Gifter went to YU, and the real story is when my father was asked to write an Encyclopedia Judaica entry for Rabbi Mordechai Gifter, so he wrote that Rabbi Gifter attended YU, and he showed it to Rav Gifter before they published it, and Rav Gifter said, please take that part out. My father was not so happy with this. My father wrote like the Encyclopedia Judaica entries for a number of like the Gedolim, just because... whatever, they knew my father, it was, there's a long story. But basically, la halacha, we assume that you're allowed to interrupt between tkiyistim yusham, tkiyistim umad. It's a chumrenatu, says Rav Henkin. Therefore, because of chumrenatu, that's the best time to make kiddush. If you're really not be able to make it, so you can't eat before you get the mitzvah. But once you're at the first 30 blasts, you got the mitzvah, and that's when you make kiddush. So Rav Gifter responds to Rav Henkin. He says, dear Rav Henkin, what you are doing by writing this piece is you're giving ammunition to all those people who hate the yeshivos and hate Orthodox Jews and hate traditional Torah, because they know that in yeshivas they all make kiddush. And they're going to say, oh, yeshiva guys, what you are doing is it's against Shulchan Aruch HaPenkin show that you're not allowed to make kiddush and have a full meal before shofar. You have to after the kiss to me, Yushav. And what they're doing in yeshivas is wrong. And Rav Gifter said it's a terrible thing to say that what they do in yeshivas is wrong, and you should know that in the yeshivas with all the great gedolim they did this, so what's the problem? Rav Henkin responds to Rav Gifter, and he says, you know what, the Mishnah Peyaretz, Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph, that let's say the whole world says that you're wrong, but you are right, stick to your guns, I'm right, and go away, basically. That's what Rav Henkin says. It seems to me, and what I've advised people to do in the past, is that if you really have to eat, make sure you hear some shofar first. You hear 30 kolos, and then make kiddush and eat. I think that is the preferred thing. Now, you ask, are you not allowed to talk? How can you make kiddush? The answer is, shh, talking isn't so bad. talking between Tkiyas Dim Yishon, Tkiyas Dim Umag. Remember, if I make Birchas HaTorah in the morning, and I'm going to learn morning Seder, then I'll learn again at night, and I go to work in the middle of the day, I don't have to make a new bracha later at the end of the day. The bracha, even though I interrupt in the middle, once I start doing the mitzvah, I can continue throughout the day. So I started doing the mitzvah of shofar, I already got the mitzvah, right? I don't have to make a new bracha. I talk after my Birchas HaTorah, so this should be the same thing. Now again, I understand that Birchas HaTorah would be a different type of bracha, but basically, once you start doing mitzvahs, the talking, we have a practice. It's the Rif quotes a practice that we don't talk, but that's fundamentally a chumrah, and may Iker HaDin, we assume you're allowed to talk, and therefore the best time to make Kiddush would be that time. Now, the practice that is done in yeshivos, that they make a big Kiddush, I remember there was a few years that we davened Rosh Hashanah by Hasidish Rebbe and Lawrence, there are such things, and the Rebbe would put out a spread before Tekiyas. Like, he would have a Kiddush to end all Kiddushes. I mean, it's probably not as good as the Kiddushes in the Hampton Synagogue, but yeah, by Rebbe's standards, it's up there. And that's the time when the Rebbe would go to the mikveh before Tekiyas, etc. This is how the Rebbe did it. And it's not at all pashut, especially because to have a Kiddush with a lot of people is the Mata Ephraim, which is like the classic sefer on Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. The Mata Ephraim says you should definitely not have a Kiddush with a lot of people, because what that leads to is an atmosphere that's completely the opposite of Tekiyas Shofar. Tekiyas Shofar is supposed to be a serious time. If right before Tekiyas Shofar, you're going to have an atmosphere of sitting down and jovially having a good time and a Kiddush and discussing the latest tweet that came from the President of the United States or whatever, because you get these things through osmosis, right? That is not conducive to Shofar. That is not in line with what the Mitzvah Shofar is supposed to be. And therefore, to have a public Kiddush is really problematic. Now, obviously, they do it in yeshivas, and they do have what to rely on, right? They obviously assume that they're only eating a kazayis, not a kibbutz. So therefore, it's te'ima. They're relying on those opinions that te'ima is okay. They don't like this cheshvan, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis, that because your yotzei kishmakim se'uda automatically becomes achila, that is difficult. But push comes to shove, it would seem that it's best not to make kiddush. You could have coffee in the morning before davening, and hopefully it'll keep you going, and the davening shouldn't go so long. We're done by 1 o'clock here in Shul, and right, that's fine. Now, the thing I really don't like is some chazanim on Rosh Hashanah are worried that their voice will go dry, and therefore they have some water up by the bima with them, and they take sips of water, mil chazar sashat. You're not allowed to drink in Moshe Mon Esrei. You're talking to Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're taking a drink. Right? It's a terrible thing, in my opinion. Right? Your voice might crack. Okay, if you're really worried your voice is going to crack, find a different shaliach tzibur. You shouldn't daven for the Amud. Right? You have to keep...
Yom Kippur.
What?
So
in Yom Kippur, obviously they have no choice. Well, unfortunately, there were chazonim in the old world. My father remembers as a kid. My father as a kid lived in Montreal, and the great chazon came to Montreal for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur one year. And my father, as a kid, had a good voice, so he was invited to be part of the choir with the chazan. And he came back Yom Kippur night, and he told my grandfather that the chazan kept on taking a handkerchief and putting it up to his mouth. And my grandfather figured out that what this great chazan was doing is he had like a lemon in that handkerchief, and he was moistening his lips. And my father told my father that he's not allowed to go back and sing in the choir the next day, because this great world-renowned chazan is violating Yom Kippur. It happened. Right? It's unfortunate, but what can we do? So these are the stories relating to eating before Tekiyas Shofar. There's a ton of material on this question. There's really a lot that is written, but it would seem that la halacha, you really shouldn't. Now, some poskim also say that what they do in yeshivas, that they have like a large kiddush, in some ways is better, because rab mad kriya hadadi. The Gemara has an expression that the concern of eating before doing a mitzvah is I might forget to do the mitzvah. But from a whole group of people, so then everyone will remind the other. So Yitzchak Shmokas really does not like rab mad kriya hadadi. He said, and Rav Hinkin does not like it. He says, Rabbi Matria Hadadi, no, it's much more likely they'll all get caught up in their eating and drinking, and they'll all forget it. Right? Especially if you have an alcoholic kiddush. Which is, right? I am not a fan of this. I think the thing to do is kiddush between Tekiyos de Miyushav and the Tekiyos de Me'umad. Now, Rav Hinkin actually develops an interesting idea. I might mention this a little bit on Rosh Hashanah. He says, how come you're really allowed to talk? So he suggests that maybe the Tekiyos de Me'umad, the Tekiyos in the middle of the Shmona Esrei, when the Chazan repeats the Shmona Esrei, is not a din of Tekiyah Shofar. There's a din of Shofar, and there's a din of Chatzotzros. Chatzotzros are, the Torah says, Kisavo Melchoma Ba'artzachem, when there's a war, so you have a mitzvah to blow trumpets. Chatzotzos and shofar are made out of the same material, but chatzotzos were straightened and shofars were curved. That's what Rav Kafach writes in his Sefer. Now, the mitzvah of tekiyas chatzotzos, the mitzvah to blow chatzotzos when an enemy is attacking you, conceptually that applies to Rosh Hashanah. Because we have a satan, and the satan is attacking us. And the satan is trying to say that we're going to have a bad year. So what we do is, Kisavo milchama ba'artzachem v'arayosim b'chatzotzros. Right? The tekiyas before Musaf, that's the mitzvah shofar. During Musaf, that, says Rav Hinkin, is more akin to the mitzvah of chatzotzros. And this can explain a kasha that many mefarshim ask. One of the psukim that we say in Shofros is Ubiyam simchaschem ubimawadeyichem uberoshay chodsheyichem uasikatem bachatzotzeros. Right? Or something like that. Right? So the Mefarshim ask, why are you quoting a pasuk of Chatzotzeres? It's about shofar. The teretz is that the tekiyah shofar during this repetition of Shemona Esrei, during the silent Shemona Esrei, is really a mitzvah of Chatzotzeres. And that's a totally different mitzvah than shofar. Right? Chatzotzeres and shofar have a different thing. The mitzvah of shofar is more of a joyous mitzvah. Chatzotzeres is that we have a war going on. And there are different sounds that are dominant, no? The tekiyah is the joyous sound. The trua, that's the sound of attack, no? The idea is, says Rav Hinkin, that because there are two separate mitzvahs, a mitzvah of shofar and a mitzvah of chatzotzeres, so therefore interrupting is not as big of a deal because you already got the full mitzvah of shofar, the mitzvah of shofar is over. Hi, Gila.
I feel like I already sense why my question's not fair, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
That's okay.
Which is, you know, they make chumras all the time. Like, you know, so we don't do the actual avera.
Right.
So why are they possibly that you can have a taste and not like, oh, I'll taste one more. Oh, I'll taste one more. Like, okay,
I think you're asking a good question. In other words, the argument that you could have nothing in some ways is a much purer argument. Because once you have a taste, like I began with like saying how in yeshiva each piece of cake is officially between pizayas and kibbutzah, that's very hard. And like we all know that when we sit at the Pesach Seder and we have karpas and you're supposed to have less than the kizayas, come on, right? We all know that. So I think that is a fair point. And practically speaking, I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to know. And the Rishonim already have expressions that we can't compare gezeros. Sometimes Chachamim felt to make a gezeros. Sometimes they didn't. We don't know exactly why. But it would seem reasonable to say, hey, you can't just have a kezayis. Either for the halachic reason that becomes an achila, like use of shmokas, or because of practical reason, you might do more. I'll agree with that. So you meant? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. We should have a ksiva chsima tova and a good kibbutz shiur. Thank you for coming.